comments redundant, but thank you all for coming tonight. And I'd ask for a special hand for my side persons, but that'll come a little later. Probably ought to read into this critter, eh? Loud and queer. One devil, or many, many, so many that many thought it only natural when the authorities established a training program to apprentice young diabolicals or devils' devils to their craft of choice. And it surprised no one when the program's grateful first batch of grads voted to pool efforts and fashion a truly dark tribute to their master, wishing nothing less than a painful reminder of their time at school. The devilettes worked like veritable humans, skillfully applying their new-won knowledge of the vain and cruel. At length, the work was done, and the workmen stepped back to gaze on what they had made. Immediately pleased, they called in the entire graduating class for a look-see. And for the lifetime of a less hardy species, the young demons stood there in attitudes of perverse admiration shading into ecstasy. And they might be there yet, were they not abruptly panicked by the great fear that informs all duty to an abstraction, ripping themselves away from what promised to be a permanent gratification. The room of devils faced their fear in the person of a higher power, their shop teacher. "I am happy," he assured the quaking crowd, "with this object from your hand, but now it wants testing in the world, don't you think?" Yet, were the listener himself to step back, he would surely be mystified, because from all angles but one, this great focus of the devil's manufacture would seem to be quite invisible. Any reader or listener might be excused for thinking that the thing did not exist. And that would be the case, to all appearances, save one. And I cannot summon up the perspective that would allow you to see the entity in its horrid beauty and its undeniable reality. I cannot offer you the demonic view, not without your absolute willingness. Because it was a mirror, merely that, that the devils had tormented into frangible being, frameless, with edges and corners skin-slash-sharp. The first and the summary of its miracles lay in the fact that this mirror reflected light by drawing it in. Nothing was sent back but an image. No silver nitrate backed its surface. In fact, it seemed to lack any anterior side whatever. Curious lay devils, that is, those who didn't make the tech crew, scuttling round to check out what lay behind the marvel, found nothing at all, save that they could see right through that nothing as if it were less than nothing, or nothing less than nothing. The curiosity soon impelled them and me on around to the front. There's no horror like that of missing the show. I won't say there is no challenge. One might close the eyes, think the worst, and let doubt send up a case of shudders. One might imagine that any light sent into this mirror would travel forever inward and never see the world again. One might even hope to see all that lost light collected at some impossible distance, a flickering signal, lifetimes away, always out of reach, tantalizing the fearless with the faint glimmer glamour of a happy ending. But isn't it more convenient simply to crowd around into the viewing field like a proper devil and let the mirror's obscure causes dissolve into its spectacular effects? Because they do amaze. Open your peepers now, s'il vous plaît. Not that you and I will see the one thing, although in a way that's the case, in the worst way, that is. The abiding glory of the devil's mirror is that it shows the very worst to its best advantage. And if there is an infernal assumption, it speaks to this. What all humans share is the wet dream of the exalted self, the communion of saints, God's slice, is mocked by the phenomenon of individual consciousness, which naturally tends to become more of itself. The babble of coincident lives is stilled, given time. And time, presented as a writhing memory of Adam's fall and Lucifer's and mine, is all I know I know. To be sure, time is only a manner of speaking. All eternity is distributed among pint-sized braggart moments. They swell. While what even a devil would concede to be the deity's great donation is shared out among ruthless independents. But if one will forget for the moment that he is under arrest, time can become a simple subject of pure formal elegance. And this is exactly the spiritual flood the devil's mirror holds in quell for the willing. And if its striking representations seem always to describe a diagonal descent, why, one may always stand on his head and get a rise out of the Creator. And this is precisely what some rough half of the diabolical crowd had done, hoping to heighten the experience with some quick blood to the brain. What was seen? This is a twisty theme, but I'll try. First, the image before the eye is utterly static, jammed. Each time one opens his eyes, he seeth a different picture or built, but none moves. So, although the viewer is held in total thrall by what he sees, he is at license to move about, squiggle and giggle, in sublime confidence that he will not in the least disturb his image. This makes for glee, as a certain kind of lifelong suspense is ended, or anyway suspended. And the images are, as often as not, side-splitting in themselves, but let me postpone my arrival at the heart of this, as if it were a joke, you understand, and append three formal points. Different scenes obtained in different sections of the image as a whole, scenes involving the central character at various times in his life, united as to theme in a subtle, pleasing manner. A presentation not unlike that of certain old religious paintings. Also, the clarity of each scene intensified toward and beyond the point of pain as it was viewed. Concentration upon one scene, with its consequent fascination unto unendurability, caused the peripheral scenes to vibrate with a structural jealousy, an everlasting seduction that calleth the willing watcher from one place to the other with a harshness he will never notice. There is no peace in it. And lastly, although the experience is all about recognition, the thrilling dialectic of that term is obliterated by the devil's mirror. All at once, there is no private life. Somehow, one only sees himself as others see him. All right, kiddies, it's content time. What was seen, and where's the humor in it? Blink, ye unbelievers. Your dark glass offers binocular insight into the paltry acts of goodwill we punies attempt from time to scattered time. Taking the traces these hapless acts leave written upon the character and rendering each as a consummate ugliness, every kindness worked into something aesthetically distasteful, downright stinky come to that. How is this achieved? Simply through the injection of selfhood into the process. The kind act is magnified to grotesqueness, revealing its self-evident sensuality, its gratifying nature. What a nice man! In a lewd undertone, in a mocking magpie overdub, in a tritone triple duet fed through an electronic chorus, in pure Hendrix distortion. The kind act scrutinized gives up its dark usefulness in buying off a bad conscience. But above all, it parades for display its comic futility in any spiritual system not based on karma points, on brownie points, on point points. Every devil knows that the push to rack up points for admittance into the hereafter is Lucifer's own sly gift to human striving. Let the deed be pure as new minted money, yet its fault will be revealed in observation by the self. Therefore, it is all any devil can do to contain himself as he witnesses his rare moment of goodness defiled by simple scrutiny. Plus, although it may be a shade too diabolical for some humans to be thus encouraged to laugh out loud at something ugly, who would fail to succumb to the reassurance that it is, after all, one's very own self that is being held up to ridicule? The sandbag rush of modesty in the spotlight, the frisson of star-turned self-abnegation, it would be precious not to laugh. But I must hold my sides and mind my frivolity at some point. You too, because the hilarious, crippling distortion of the good also serves a great and lower purpose, that of contrast. How singularly thrilling, how uplifting, to lower the eyes from the hideously comic and latch them onto the rapturously horrid. This is the main body of the work. This is the meat. Forget the whirl of seduction at the periphery. Now comes, before our delighted gaze, a firm article of the modern faith, namely a personal erotics of art. And suddenly realized, beyond the meeching doubt with which the notion is wont to be adulterated, every evil quirk and habit provide detail to the portrait. In accumulation, the subject becometh more and more interesting. In eventual avalanche, he becometh fascinating. And that which he hath left undone finds form as negative space that dramatically surrounds and highlights its hero, the sublime figure. A human may quail before the spectacle of himself as a beautiful sinner, but a young devil will stare boldly at, yea, dare to imitate, what he perceives rightly as himself at his worst. How not to enjoy a reflection that offers beauty and self-justification in one stroke? Yet the satanic pipsqueaks in question were able to prize themselves away from its unholy offering, when frightened badly enough. And we must do this too, or never swing again. But what to fear, what to fear? Let's try death. There, good old reliable death. And we're free to conclude the story, mimic copying vibe from model. Yes, yes, it gets ever more difficult to break away from reflective babble. But I shall endeavor in future to keep my inner eye averted, at least for the length of this telling. And anyway, I have spared you the tedious details of what it is that I see. Grant me that. And so the flaming youths bent back to their fine task of how best to test their mirror in the world. It went ungently. A violent debate arose, during which all arable land was sown with dragon's teeth. But it was at last concluded that the ultimate test of the mirror's world-worthiness lay, in fact, beyond the world. The thought, as mean and fine and e-day as you'll ever find time to fix on, was to hoist that glass onto some hard-shouldered brawnies and carry it heavenward, figuring to retrace in reverse the gleaming fall of their grand infernal forefather and Urfuhrer unkindly Luke's. Whether that were a collective or an individual idea depends on social prejudice. I believe it a bit of both. Anyhow, the general hope among the diabolical host ran this way. If the plunge were allowed to go reflective at some wondrous high level, it might well come round right, being that many degrees in the wrong, bringing the fallen into his glory at last. It is parlous difficult not to find much to admire, no? In this prodigious effort by the young to live out a hand-me-down dream. Failing that, for there are practical devils as well as the pretentious variety, all agreed that the scheme had it in it to provide matter for a snappy chapter in the history of show business. Also, it presented a dandy chance to rag on their opposite numbers among the holier-than-thou, the Hyperion Youth League. And so, to be short with it, they huddled round and hunkered down and made to lift the beastly thing aloft. At first, it was not to be budged, and no mistake, as if its power partly rested in its remaining at rest. And indeed, friends, the noble sin of sloth had sadly to be jettisoned in order to get all off the ground. This made the mirror lighter, to be sure, but it also costed a bit of the old unholiness. Then, for a daunting moment, it seemed that pride might have to go as well. But that disaster were averted with a mighty heave-ho, and soon the thing was off and winging, splash side up, bound for paradise. They rose. At first, their muscles and sinews drew heavily upon belief and simple brutality. Can you not see them? A dark tangle against the dazzling sky. Smaller and smaller. By mid-career, their forces of impetus were after performing a fast fade, and more than one stout lugabout came darkly to feel very much the ill-paid porter. One thing might have saved all, and each knew it. Had they only been able to watch themselves while they worked, these mighty young devils striving ever upward through the spheres. That would have crippled the grumbles right there. How they wished they could but dip the head once into that cool surf, break that serene surface that lay to the flip side of this, their ponderous load. Each leap upward left the whole of it that much more leaden. One dip, one peep, would return so much of the original purpose, once a force in every mind, now rapidly losing itself before the growing pressures of the job. What a gig! They could not see what they had. That was the hell of it. They could not carry the mirror and face it at once. Not that any dared stay the pace. Although, as the trip wore on, time moving faster and faster as they climbed, life after life spent in the ascent, one by one the devils discovered that they had no sure memory of what they were about. What were they suffering to take place? Where were they going and why? They knew that they held undoubted fate in their own hands, but what was it after all? Each had forgot. Its weight they knew, and its horrid sharpness digging into their shoulders down to the bone, and that the thing grew heavier and heavier, that they knew. And so I put it to you. Can we blame them at all for what happened? Soft now. Who among us has not had a truly nasty plan in mind, only to find it crossed by hard circumstance, or outranked by the more pressing event, or buried in glue up to its neck, or wrung of all its evil sauce by the twists of duration? Who has not stopped on the way to a crime? What miscreant has not been inconvenienced by divine intervention? If you say, why, I myself, for one, I shan't believe you, and that's a mighty fix for a writer, is it not? So let him who is without grace cast the first aspersion on these poor devils, once so bright with darkness, now climbing without mind into a sphere without atmosphere, leaving the oxy and retaining the moron, as sage Mediocrites might have limbed it. Accepting they became of pain and weight and loss, who had a choice? And is it any eighth wonder when, after traveling an unimaginable span in this selfsame selfless state, they arrived at the unendurable, that which happened, happened? I say, forgive their forgetting and be done with it. Can you not manage that, ye of the flinty ticker? Yes, and more. Like most of us, in the midst of middle age, and the huff and puff and divils had come to that by nearly now, our heroic haggards had at last to meet their mechanism. It was this. In a world without signs, not of men's imagination, the diabolical essence of human reflection simply became too significant to bear as it approached what lies beyond imagination. Its gravity became levity. Why be curious, ye devils? There is no memory of the unknown. The upshot? This. With heaven in view, a whipstitch away, no more. A moment of absolute blamelessness fell upon our misfortunate fellow fiends. Beyond place for a change, and free at last to follow nature, they performed in small the ritual of divine indifference and shrugged their shoulders. And the mirror fell away. Was it not immediately then their long-lost brethren appeared to them in a gleaming hover just over their heads, and taking the boys by the right hand, welcomed them home? High corn! You'd scarcely believe the goony smiles all around, shining raiment, spheroid music, the lot. Another good crew gone, I know you're thinking. But how could it be otherwise, that being the way himself has the game rigged? Richard Devils hadn't a chance. So it only remains to tell of the mirror, right? Which, after all, was matter, and hence a mite hard to be rid of. Well, it came to earth in a babbling trice, and its crash sent bits and shards flying to points all around the planet, which pieces, when got in the eye or down the gullet, have served as inspiration for poets time out of mind. And with that, a bitter wish to all of you, and a hard good night. was written with Shelley's mind in mind back in 1980. This is The Spanish Vanish.
Standing in the sea, she held a purple parasol from Paris and a yellow brick from Tripoli. She was a lovely young Latino beauty with a look that bordered on the weird. But when I summoned up the pluck to talk with her, the señorita disappeared. Before my mind forgot that she had gone, I hastened to the spot she stood upon, but nothing of her being there remained. The reason for her fleeing unexplained, I feared 'twas I who put the scare in her. I whispered to an ancient mariner who laughed at me and said, "Now don't be fooled, the lady nonchalantly pulled off the Spanish vanish." Friend, it's hard to say if she'd be real, but her elusiveness is yours to claim, my friend. A burning love is what you feel. So every night before you fall to sleep, do keep in mind the vision that she gave. And by she'll fly into your dream and take you to her home behind the waves. Garbled dream begins to come. As yet she only grants me fleeting glimpses of the future we were meant to share. I rest content with strains of Morris music and the smell of season. Well, I picked up the microphone and then it popped.
7 times he told me if he...
Hey, wait a second. Let me get this straight here. Gotta get this one right. You can keep going while I... Okay, yes, right, got it. Yeah, huh?
7 was the time I was to meet my man. Boy, you know I must have been wrong, 'cause it's got me waiting, standing in the pouring down rain. I'm standing in the rain.
7 times he told me, if he told me at all,
girl, you've got to pick their own time.
So I started early, now it's getting later on. should I do? What should I say whenever you see him? Tell you the truth, just to show that I'm a lady, and they touching me for no. He calls me a 7-up cause I got such a sparkling personality, but if he thinks I'm gonna stand in the rain getting wet, he's got the wrong number. This old 7-up ain't about to get wet for anybody, and if he thinks he should, well, he'll learn rather soon. Maybe he's a sailing on the 7 seas, trying to forget about me. Oh, maybe he's at home now, messing with some other chickadee. He'll have to deal with me.
This is a ritual that Mrs. Forrester and I go through every night.
Oh, Larry.
This is a slippery surface. Okay. Are you all ready?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
I'll never fail with sex is soon. I never thought I could take it or leave it. What kind of fool would it take to believe that old refrain about a boy and a girl in a lonely dream? I want to scream. I used to think if I came every hour that it would lead me to fame and to power. Now I see a burning love affair is not for me. I gave it up cause asexual partnering excites me. I live with a roommate of the opposite sex. We try to ignore any kind of contact between us except little performances strictly for the public. I mean to tell you it makes living easy. I used to suffer the shakes from a misconceived desire before I drew the water on my fire. And
something's missing.
What is it?
It's Medusa in Love.
Thank you.
shall meet Perseus. His mere will cost me my life.
Thank you.
to pretend.
Can I hear that extra hand for Shelley? And of course, I'm Joel. Thanks, everyone. Thanks for coming.